Part 3. The Story of How the Idea Began, Sections 1 through 3 of the paper. Chapter 1 is called The Intuition, Why Dictionaries Are the Wrong Shape. Every language learner has felt the friction. You look up cat in an English to Spanish dictionary and find gato. You look up gato in a Spanish to Japanese dictionary and find the Japanese word Nico. Three dictionaries later, you have spent an afternoon confirming what you suspected all along, the same idea, a small domesticated carnivore that purrs, described three times, in three separate files, by three different organizations, and never once connected. The intuition behind Lingua Mundi is that this is the wrong shape for linguistic data. The meaning exists once, the words exist many times. A database that stores meanings as first-class objects and treats words as labels that languages attach to those meanings would let a person or program move from any language to any other through a single shared map. A learner would see at a glance that cat, gato, chat, katsa, and Nico are not five facts to memorize, but one fact wearing five coats. This intuition did not arrive as a thunderbolt. It grew, over roughly a year, out of one person's daily work, and its earliest documentary trace is remarkably plain. The first message. On December 3, 2025, the author opened a conversation with a chatbot and typed, "I want to find free dictionaries similar to the Japanese dictionary files called Jamdict and Kanjadict, for Spanish, English, French, Italian, Portuguese, Chinese, Korean and Vietnamese. My intent is to create a unified multilingual database. I am also interested in knowing if similar databases exist for indigenous Mexican languages that I can freely access." Three things in that message foreshadow everything the project became. First, the languages named Spanish, English, French, Italian, Portuguese, and later Japanese are exactly the languages he translates and teaches. He would later formalize them as the Core 6. Second, the phrase "a unified multilingual database" already names the goal, one database, not six dictionaries. Third, the author was thinking about indigenous Mexican languages from the very first day, an interest that returns throughout the project's history. The context matters too. The author is not a computer scientist by training. He is a translator and language tutor who was, at the time, also learning Japanese seriously, building small tools to make that easier, games for kanji, the Chinese origin characters used in Japanese, and for kana, the Japanese syllable scripts. A furigana editor for Japanese ebooks, furigana being the small pronunciation marks beside characters, would join later in 2026 as an app called Shikibu. His home directory shows the trail, a kanji dictionary file downloaded November 11, 2025, and, prompted by that conversation, the open multilingual WordNet data on December 5. That conversation is the hinge, the moment when I need Japanese data for my tools widened into I want to build a unified multilingual database, for free, for many languages, including my own country's languages. From dictionaries to meanings, the December 2025 pipeline. Between December 5 and December 16, 2025, the author wrote, "With a chatbot as programming partner, a chain of programs, a data pipeline, the name for an assembly line that moves raw data into its final home, the downloaded, parsed, and merged lexical data from several open sources into progressively more structured forms. The pipeline's final stage, dated December 16, splits every entry into four kinds of objects, a concept, a shared idea, a sense, one particular meaning of one word in one dictionary, a lexeme, a word form in one language, the string cat, the string gato, and a grapheme, a written character such as a kanji. The schema, the database blueprint, is telling. Each sense carries a field pointing to its concept, and that field may be empty, meaning, this word meaning has not yet been linked to a shared idea." The author's notes describe. The method is zero heuristics, no fuzzy guessing, no statistical tricks to decide that two words mean the same thing, only explicit, documented links. That December 16th schema is, in miniature, the entire architecture of what would later be called Lingua Mundi. Words live in languages, meanings live in a shared space, and the hard, honest problem, which word in which language means which concept, is never faked. A meaning not yet linked to a concept is kept, visibly unlinked, rather than silently guessed into place. 10 months later, when a bug made the English word cat invisible to its concept, the author described the principle in exactly these terms: better to show an orphan than to hide one. We will hear that story in part 5. The gap and the widening. Then the paper trail goes quiet for roughly 5 months, from mid-December 2025 until late May 2026. The available logs contain no dictionary pipeline work. This is not yet verified as absence, only absence from the records. And the project's growth was not continuous, it advanced in bursts, separated by weeks or months of other work, a rhythm that continued throughout 2026. When the thread resumes, the ambition has widened. On May 1, 2026, the author is studying the coverage of version 2 of the Open Multilingual WordNet. On May 27, he asks for a systematic map of every free lexical, grammatical, and semantic resource that could feed a multilingual knowledge base. Why this matters beyond one person's project. A reader may wonder why a paper documents a personal project's intuition at such length. The answer, the intuition is the contribution. The idea that meanings, not spellings, are the natural unit of multilingual data has a long academic pedigree. It is the oldest dream of machine translation's interlingua tradition, a shared middle language, so that translation passes through meaning, and it is the organizing principle of the Princeton WordNet. But it is rarely acted upon by an individual, with no budget, as a public good. The great resources built on this principle are maintained by funded consortia. Lingua Mundi is one independent researcher's attempt to build a piece of that infrastructure himself, for his own translation and teaching work, and to give it away. Whether it succeeds, the reader can judge from the evidence, and the author's own journals show him asking the same question, with the same honesty, all along. Chapter 2. Background: What a Map of Meaning Means. Three strands of prior work matter: the linguistic idea that meaning can be separated from spelling, the computational idea that meaning can be stored as data and linked across languages, and the modern observation that a structured map of meaning complements rather than competes with the large language programs that learn from text. The sign and its two faces. Modern linguistics begins with an observation credited to Ferdinand de Saussure's lectures in the early 20th century: a word is a pairing of a sound or shape, the signifier, and a concept, the signified. Two languages, on this view, are not two sets of words that happen to translate, they are two sets of shapes that overlap on a shared space of ideas. If a machine could store ideas once and attach shapes to them, translation becomes a lookup through a shared middle, the interlingua approach. In full generality, that dream repeatedly proved too hard. Languages do not carve meaning into identical pieces, and every translator knows that Cat the Animal and Cat the Jazz Musician are different ideas wearing one word shape. But the dream never died. It was narrowed into something buildable, the lexicon, the part of language that maps best onto stable, shared meanings. WordNet and the Synset. The decisive narrowing came from psychology and lexicography. In the 1980s and 1990s, George Miller and colleagues at Princeton built WordNet, a lexical database for English organized not alphabetically but semantically. WordNet's core invention is the Synset, a contraction of synonym set, A. Group of words that can stand for the same meaning in some context. The synset of cat, true cat, felis catus, and domestic cat is one meaning. The synset of cat, cat, guy, and hombre, an informal term for a youth or man, is another meaning that happens to share the word shape cat. WordNet also records relations between synsets, most importantly the is-a hierarchy. A domestic cat is a kind of feline a kind of carnivore, a carnivore a kind of mammal, turning the dictionary into a graph, a web of meanings connected by type relationships. WordNet matters here for three reasons. It proved that a machine-readable lexicon organized by meaning is feasible and enormously useful. It gave the world stable identifiers for meanings, so the domestic cat synset can be cited across databases by its number alone, and it became the anchor of a multilingual project, the Open Multilingual WordNet, launched by Francis Bond and Ryan Foster, which collects WordNets in many languages and aligns them to the Princeton English WordNet. Every participating language's synsets carry pointers to the English synset they correspond to. Explicit, human-curated statements of the form, Spanish gato, first sense, belongs to the same meaning as the English domestic cat synset. It is the resource that made Lingua Mundi possible. The open data ecosystem around the WordNets. The Open Multilingual WordNet is one node in a large, openly licensed ecosystem an individual can legally and technically combine. Wiktionary, the collaborative dictionary hosted by the Wikimedia Foundation, gives very wide coverage in hundreds of languages. Wikidata, Wikimedia's structured knowledge base, stores machine-readable statements released into the public domain. Universal Dependencies publishes grammatically annotated sentences, real evidence of how words are used. The Japanese dictionary files of Jim Breen's Electronic Dictionary Project cover Japanese extensively, with translations into several languages. Unimorph stores word forms, how run becomes ran. Opus gathers translated sentences from the web and movie subtitles. Word frequency lists rank words by how common they are in real texts. And a standard called ISO 639-3 gives every human language a stable three-letter code: ISPA for Spanish, JPN for Japanese, which Lingua Mundi uses as the keys of its language table. Two properties of this ecosystem structure the whole project. First, the licenses are genuinely open, so combining these datasets into a derived database is legal as long as attribution is respected, and Lingua Mundi records the source and license of every imported dataset. Second, the ecosystem is complementary. Wiktionary is broad but shallow, the word nets are deep but narrow, one source is about usage, another about word forms, another about prominence. The engineering problem, then, is not fine data. It is merged data that was never designed to be merged, without lying about the joins. Why a map of meaning still matters in the age of large models? A fair objection must be stated plainly. If large language models can already translate, define, and reason about words, why build a structured lexicon at all? The author's answer has three parts. Verifiability. A structured database can show its work. Every link has a source, a license, and a date, where a model's knowledge is an opaque statistical mixture that cannot be audited, corrected, or cited. Cost and access. A local database query costs nothing and works offline, where every model query costs energy or money. The author's standing rule is zero token research queries. The local interface is the research surface. And complementarity. The author's June 2026 paper argued, as a hypothesis, not yet proven, that a compact model operating over meaning identifiers rather than raw word tokens could be far more efficient, because the concept map does the semantic work outside the network. A token is the small chunk of text a model reads or writes. Whether or not the hypothesis survives, the map stays useful to the models as external memory that can be queried and updated without retraining. The intellectual ancestry of lingua mundi, in one line, it is the interlingua dream, narrowed to the lexicon by WordNet, made multilingual by the open multilingual WordNet, made legal by the open data movement, and made personal by one translator's need for a dictionary that treats meaning, not language, as the thing being filed. Chapter 3. The name, the thesis, and the seven graph architecture, May to June 2026. Naming. Until late May 2026, the author's notes used the working title Multilingual Lexical Platform. The name Lingua Mundi, Language of the World, in Latin, first appears in the surviving record on June 1, 2026, as the title of a research manuscript. The name is apt. The project's claim is not that it contains many languages, but that it is about the one space of meaning those languages share. A research thesis, meaning, not tokens. Between roughly March and June 2026, the author developed a thesis about why a concept-level map of language could make language technology radically more efficient and accessible. His framing, pasted for review in July, create a multilingual, open, machine-readable map of human language that separates meaning, form, structure, history, and usage into interoperable graphs. The long-term objective is to make language computable at the concept level rather than the token level. The underlying argument, a language model spends most of its capacity on surface variation, treating dog, paro, and the Japanese for dog as three unrelated things when they are one thing in three coats. If a model could read and write sequences of meanings, with the concept map doing the multilingual work outside the network, the model could be smaller, cheaper, and runnable on ordinary computers. Seven versions in one morning, the adversarial collaboration method. The manuscript proposed a seven-layer architecture, a concept graph of language-independent meanings, with a target size of 1 billion nodes, a design ambition, not something yet built, a synset graph mapping words of every language onto concepts, and graphs for morphology, derivation, etymology, cross-language correspondence, and usage, all joined by a common identifier system. Around those, the paper sketched a model reading meaning identifiers rather than word tokens, curved space maps of meaning, retrieval of facts from the graph, and an audited budget proving the whole thing could run on ordinary laptops. What makes this episode notable is method. The author did not write the manuscript alone. On the morning of June 1, 2026, he ran the draft through seven successive revisions in under half an hour, using two models adversarially, one drafted while the other audited with the rigor of a hostile peer reviewer. The audit transcripts survive and are candid about what each round fixed: a storage budget arithmetic error, a fabricated empirical claim, removed and replaced with an explicitly labeled hypothesis, a comparison against a hypothetical model, replaced with one against a real model, performance claims narrowed, unsupported scaling claims relabeled as open research problems. By version 7, the manuscript was an honest position paper with a falsifiable evaluation plan. The audits rated the manuscript's vision highly and its empirical support low. The last audit's advice was blunt. The next valuable artifact is not version 8 of the paper. It is prototype 0.1, an experiment with 100,000 to a million concepts, English only, trained on simple stories, compared directly against a model that reads ordinary word tokens. That experiment would answer the central question: does compressing language through meaning preserve enough information to justify the bottleneck? The author followed that advice. Three observations matter. First, the idea was never the bottleneck, the vision rated a minus, the bottleneck was evidence, and the audit said so seven times. Second, the working method, multiple models as adversarial. Collaborators, every draft and audit kept, honest qualification over confident overclaim, became the studio's permanent standard. Third, the seven-layer architecture became the roadmap. Several layers are built today, and the derivation, etymology, correspondence, and usage layers are queued phases of the same plan. That closes the story of how the idea began. Part 4 moves to July and August 2026, when the platform took shape.